Good morning, everybody. I was still typing furiously 5 seconds ago. Jesus, I just drove in here at the last minute too. It is Friday morning and we are live in studio with the star of the show on a Friday, Simpi Wemtet. And we are joined by, as a special guest today, because I've never had them here together on the show at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hilarious. Mashia Nesefut.
Good morning, Gareth.
Hello, Mash. How are you?
I'm good.
People are not at all sick of you because whenever you come on here, that's why we like having you so often, you always bring these unbelievable stories. It's like your family are a soap opera all on their own.
Yeah, well.
And your love life and everything else.
I'm glad that's how you guys describe my life, you know, as a soap opera.
Yeah. We're very respectful. We're so respectful. We need to let you know that.
A lot has been happening, but we'll get to it.
Well, a lot's been happening everywhere and for every reason. So just to catch everybody up on a little bit of news, let's see what's happening in the world. SABC has pulled the plug on Muvango after 27 years. Speaking of soap operas.
Guys, I'm so heartbroken.
I never watched it, but I'm also heartbroken.
Ah, Gareth, no.
No, can I tell you why? No, because it's like a bit of an institution. Like, people talk about Muvango like they talk about,
Sim Delon, Generations,
and what they eat and what they drink and where they go and when they sleep. And yeah, it's a part of their lives. And
I watched it.
You know, every time they cancel a soap, it's some old lady's worst day of the whole universe.
Not just old ladies, but also young people as well in the townships and stuff where they don't have DSTV. That for them is a staple. Yeah. I remember growing up, we used to have a whole schedule.
What was
where
it?
Where 6 p.m. What are 6 p.m.
Earlier than that, 3, 4 after.
Yeah, that was the kiddie stuff.
No, there was like the Winx Club,
yes,
Pokemon.
That's for us.
Yeah.
I can't tell the difference between those and soaps.
From about 6:30. Bold and Beautiful,
6 o'clock.
Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
I remember the order quite well. Then we had Skim Sam.
Yes.
Then we had Scandal.
Yes.
Then we had Generations. Then we had the 8:30 show on SABC 1. Whether it was Zone 14 or whatever, or Home Affairs. Then we had Muvango. Muvango was like the creme de la creme. That's when we had our dessert while watching Muvango. It was
Susan,
part of our lives for so long.
The chief.
Yo,
the only what vendor word I know is Lefunu. I think it's love. I don't
Barimini.
Know. Hey, you see?
Yeah. We've learned a lot, clearly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just think there's a real dagger in the heart of vendor. That's all.
And honestly, I feel like it was the only show representing Venda. Are there any other shows that are fully in Venda?
I don't think there's anything else representing Venda at the moment at all in any which way.
Yo, it was
Venda's
such a
really
staple.
This is suffering a huge loss as a result of this
they
decision
are.
By the
Shame.
SABC.
Cyril's people. He's Venda as well.
He should be looking after this. As president, he should be very embarrassed.
Absolutely.
Just add this to the long list of shit that Cyril should be embarrassed about at this point. Okay, so I was on Piers Morgan last night talking to him about Cyril, along with a panel that included...
Can I make a big deal about this? Because you're not. So let me take this moment before you tell us more, Gareth. Gareth Cliff, the one and only, put some respect on his name, was on the Piers Morgan show. That's a big deal. Okay, guys? Okay? Mm-hmm. All right?
Is
Thank
it?
You. It is!
Okay, so I'll tell you, I asked... Ask the question not out of like not making a big deal or trying to downplay anything. Panel discussions on shows are always a nightmare. It's a bad assignment. No one wants to do it because what you're going to do is you're going to have maybe two opportunities in that 40 to 45 minute show to say anything. You're going to have to be super concise. You don't know what the other panelists are going to say, whether they're even on the same topic that you originally were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what the host's going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
It could go horribly awry. It's like it's totally fluid all the time. And I don't actually enjoy being on a panel.
Mm.
I don't even like hosting panels because it's messy.
Especially on a platform like Piers's platform,
well,
where
Piers
everyone
just
tries to up one each other.
That's it. And they all want to, Piers wants them to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Piers wants them to shout. Yeah. Piers wants them to embarrass themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on last night. I didn't know who else would be on the show. I knew who was on my part with me by Monday when we recorded it. So it was Sophie Mokoena from the SABC, SABC News. Dan
Corder
from ENCA. He's got his own show on there. And then Ernst Rutz, who used to be from AfriForum, he's now started his own thing.
Okay.
So I thought, all right, well, I know Sophie a little bit. I know Ernst a little bit. I didn't know anything about Dan Korda. And it was, I mean, it was fine. I enjoyed it because I think Piers is very good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows how to elicit a response. He does his research. He knows what he's talking about. So it wasn't too bad. But you always feel after a thing like that that, oh, I should have said more, or maybe I should have thrown this in. And I don't do that for my own shows. So why the hell why was I feeling that after watching it yesterday? Why was I like grading myself when I don't even do it here anymore?
Because you've done this so long.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning you did.
I'm tired, I'm old.
No, man. It's like, you know, when you get the brand new car, doesn't have any plates on it, the tank is still full, the engine is still ripe, you need to open the pipes up. So you are like eager to drive every and anywhere. You like, give me, you know, the mission and I'll go to the shops even though I can walk. And you're so excited to take the car out. After doing it 3-4 times, you put some K's on that thing. You're just like, yo, I don't want to drive anymore.
You're
take this.
Finished with
you
that.
Know?
Yeah.
And then, like, when a new car comes up, you're like, oh, okay, this is nice. Yeah. It's not like you didn't have that same emotion with the old car, but it's just like you're so used to it. And this was different. It's a different playing field. It's a different ball game. You don't know what the other people are going to say. You don't know what Piers was trying to do with this particular episode. So there is a level of like, And also what I've seen with these kind of shows is that they do a lot of editing afterwards. So what you could have said is now twisted. No. And so now you watching it and you're like, did I really say that? I'm not sure
so
if
they
I
didn't,
said that.
As far as I can tell, they didn't do any editing.
Okay.
Which is good. Because I hate shows where they edit you
yes.
down.
Yes. Because I've seen that.
And they can properly misrepresent anything that you say. And I wasn't worried about that because I choose my words carefully, especially when I'm on shows that I don't know.
Mm.
And I've watched Piers a couple of times. But it freaked me out that they had Oscar Pistorius' dad on before me.
Huh.
He was the segment before we were all on the panel.
What was that segment?
I know. So Oscar Pistorius' dad, whatever his name is, like Henko or something, this guy's on. He's got a bad cough for starters. I don't know what's going on there. But he's starts talking about how the murder trial was a sham and Oscar's innocent. And
and
Oscar's very cross with him because he doesn't want the father to talk to anybody. And now I'm going to be in trouble with Oscar, he says.
Yeah, you better be.
I mean, do you want to be in trouble with Oscar?
Ooh.
No, so I just think that it was weird to have him on before us. It's almost like a bit of a, yes, because that's not the person you want talking about South Africa either. I mean, you know, bless you, you're standing up for your son, and who wouldn't? What parent wouldn't?
Certainly.
But not the greatest person to refer to when you're asking about local
questions. Where is Oscar now? He's out of prison?
So he's on parole.
Okay.
So he's at home. That's how he coughed. Exactly like that.
Okay. Oh.
So he's at home. But he's only allowed to, he has to check in all the time. He's only allowed to do certain things. And
okay.
He's not allowed to go on interviews and he's not allowed to write a book at this stage. I mean, he probably is writing one anyway.
Mm.
But he can't profit from the proceeds of crime.
Yeah, you can't.
So that means if he tells the story that got him into jail, technically, that's profiting from the proceeds of crime.
Yes.
So it's very difficult to do anything where people are asking, like, so what really happened?
Mm.
Like, I think what really happened was everything we heard in the court.
Certainly.
I don't want to go there again, do you? Mm. Are you guys particularly interested in reinvigorating that whole story? Because I'm not.
No, it was way too sad.
Yes, and it went on too long.
You
remember how long that was? For a year, we all watched the courtroom drama.
Yeah.
It was like South Africa's OJ.
With Judge Masipa.
You remember
was
Judge Masipa?
Yes.
Who could forget that surname?
Also, after his parole period ends, what is then next for him? Like, is he going to now get a job? Are we going to see him at ShopRite? What's going
to
happen?
Well, I suppose if you go to the right neighborhood, he might even be shopping at ShopRite this morning. Do you mean working there?
Yeah, like working there.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know what the possibilities are.
Or can he go back to the Olympics or
I think he's too old.
To be honest, I haven't thought about Oscar this much in like what, 10 years?
I can tell you now he's too old for the Olympics.
How old is he now?
He's too old.
No, you can't go and do that anymore. That's
like
done.
Like that's maybe that's not going to happen.
An old age Olympics. You know they've got different Olympics now for everyone.
Well, you can do.
There's the Olympics and there's the Special Olympics. There's Paralympics. There's the one that Peter Thiel wants to do where people take the drugs.
Oh, I want that one.
Yeah, because that'll be super fast and really impressive.
Steroids everywhere. Oh, it's
absolutely.
But people are going to die.
No, but of course, but what a great show.
Oh, wow. A few heart attacks here and there, but totally worth it.
What a show. All right, so the other bit of news is that while we're talking about famous South Africans, Elon Musk has left the Trump administration. He said he was going to do this a while ago. He's got so many things to worry about. And imagine taking a government job when you actually have hundreds of billion dollar corporations that you have to look after. He's always updating us on what's going on with the rockets at SpaceX. Yes. There's Tesla. There's all these other companies that he's got, which are multiple. And I think he's just had it up. I mean, like, I couldn't work in a government job. I know that Simpiwe couldn't. I know you
system
couldn't.
Offline.
Oh, I could, hey?
You system what, offline. Just,
corporate is too exhausting, y'all.
But a government job, you would get very bored very quickly.
I think I would, eventually.
And he said that there's been so much criticism. He said it's very, very difficult. He aimed to cut federal spending. Initially, he targeted $2 trillion, but later reduced that to $150 billion, which is a big climb down. Mm-hmm. Approximately 260,000 federal jobs were affected, though some terminations were later reversed by court orders. Musk plans to refocus on his companies, including Tesla and SpaceX, has indicated a reduction in political donations after significant contributions to Trump's campaign. So he's just going back to what he did before. I mean, there are people celebrating all over America. Like if we decided suddenly we wanted to fire 260,000 people in the government sector,
which is not a bad idea.
Oh, are you telling me? Because that's what's costing us so much money. That's why our taxes are high. That's why Inoko Dongwana is now sneaking in that little fuel levy to punish South Africans because he couldn't get his proper VAT increase that he
Bless the EFF for taking them to court again.
Oh, good. I hope they win.
So they're fighting this fuel increase. And also, it said that the fuel levy increase is actually just as bad as the VAT increase. So we can't have any increase. Eh? So viva EFF, viva, and all the best for them.
Oh, Flex and Tian, why don't you just put the comments up on the screen? I don't have a link, so I just need to see. So if there's anything good, just ignore the shitty, stupid ones. <Yeah. laughs> Apply filtering where necessary. So, all right. Speaking of Elon, he was at the Qatar Economic Forum, which I spoke about last week, I think. And we said that the journalist there had asked him typical journalist questions. And I just thought that some of his responses there were the kinds of responses we should all give the media. Look, the fact is, if you work, as Mash said about Oscar, ShopRite, you're probably not going to be asked questions by the media that often. But I think that we've got to change the way that we deal with these guys. Like, you know, these interrogative reporters who come in with questions and they've always got an angle, you know. It's always like they're asking because they want to catch you out.
They always
rather
do.
Than because they want answers. Mm. And people like Elon Musk just don't give a shit about that anymore. They don't care about pleasing the journalist, about coming across well on the show, or about being trapped into an answer that they don't want to be in. So I thought that some of his answers to this reporter, whoever she is, were pretty damn good. And I like the attitude of being honest and straightforward and not beating around the bush and telling truth to people who are actually probably not that interested in truth but have an angle. So just take a look at this quickly. It might make you, some parts of it might make you smile.
Now people are driving around with stickers in their cars saying, "I bought this before we knew Elon was crazy."
And there are also people who are buying it because Elon's crazy, or however they may view it.
Do you see yourself, and are you committed to still being the chief executive of Tesla in 5 years' time?
Yes.
No doubt about that at all?
Well, no, I might die.
Okay, short of that.
I can't be a CEO if I'm dead, so there's a slight amount of doubt. Not a judge, not a judge. The activist who is cosplaying a judge in a Halloween costume. Now let's move on.
Okay, well, just one question.
Now let's move on.
Well,
bullets into showrooms and burning down cars is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Those people will go to prison, and the people that funded them and organized them will also go to prison. Don't worry.
But wouldn't you?
We're coming for you.
Wouldn't you? Do you see SpaceX moving into weaponized drones?
You certainly ask interesting questions that are impossible to answer. I don't currently anticipate SpaceX getting into the weapons business. That's not an aspiration. We're frequently asked to do weapons programs, but we have thus far declined. Now I'm in this absurd situation where I was born in South Africa, but cannot get a license to operate in Starlink because I'm not black.
Well, it looks
Does
like
that
that's
seem
about
right
look,
to
it
you?
Looks looks
Does
like that,
that right to you?
Looks like that's about to change.
I just asked you a question. Please answer. Does that seem right to you?
Well, those rules were designed to bring
yes or no?
Those rules were designed to bring about an era of more economic equality in South Africa, and it looks like the government has found a way around those rules for you.
Ask your question.
This is your interview. Everyone wants to hear from you.
Ask your question. Yes or no? I mean, I feel you're somewhat trapped in the NPC dialogue tree of a traditional journalist. So it's difficult when I'm conversing with someone who's trapped in the dialogue tree of a conventional journalist, because it's like talking to a computer. Who does Bill Gates think he is to make comments about the welfare of children, given that he frequented Jeffrey Epstein?
Okay, what about political influence beyond the US? How often do you speak to President Putin?
I don't speak to President Putin.
You've never spoken to President Putin?
I was on a video call with him once about 5 years ago.
Okay. That's the only... That's
why
the
would
only
you think
time?
I speak to President Putin? I get it.
Because
you
I've
believe
heard
the
you
legacy.
Speak, actually, that's I've heard why. You...
Is there a worse publication on the face of the earth than the Wall Street Journal?
Oh, I love it.
He's like frying her. Like,
yeah, and she can't keep up. And you know, I really think like some people have not moved on from this. There are people who still think that sort of journalist is a respectable, does the kind of information, you know, seeking. They can smell out any story. It's just unbelievable.
Journalism has just become a gotcha sport. Everybody wants that gotcha moment because it's all about clicks, clickbait, clickbait, clickbait. That's all people want to get now.
Carl says Elon talks like he's an AI. It's weird. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you know, people have modeled AI on the way that some of these tech bosses, these tech bros talk, because they're the ones programming it.
Certainly.
And they are the idols, the heroes of some of the nerds who are also programming it further down the tree. So that's what's happening.
So people are saying that Elon actually had a contract. So it was a 130-day contract. I just searched it on ChatGPT here. It says that Elon Musk was not formally contracted as the head of the Department of Government Efficiency, but he played a central role in its operations. Appointed as special government employee by the Trump administration, Musk served as a senior advisor to President Trump, with his tenure limited to 130 days, concluding on May 30, 2025.
So there we go, freelancers. You don't have to feel bad about being a freelancer anymore, because it's perfectly respectable. So respectable that the richest man in the world is a freelancer some of the time. So there we are. Don't look for permanent employment. Be a freelancer.
Sign me up.
Yeah. There we go. Sign you up. 130 days, and then after that, you're on your own. Okay, so apparently, and I like the sound of this because I am sick of people telling me how busy they are. Mash tells me, and he's always, you know, paying attention to pop culture and what's going on in social media, and he says that there is a new Flex on the show, and we're not talking about our producer Flex.
Hey, Flexible.
We're talking about, and it was his birthday this week, by the way. How many times did we sing to him through the day?
I'm sure like 37 times, but like, can I tell you, the day before his birthday, someone in the office was like, guys, it's Flex's birthday tomorrow. We're like, is it true, Flex? He's like.
Yeah, because he doesn't talk about it.
He kept quiet the whole time. He was just like, shh, guys, I don't want to make a fuss about this day. This day doesn't exist.
Well, we made a fuss.
And then Lord and behold, we made a fuss. We kept singing for him every second minute.
Yeah. So so there's a new flex in town. There's a new thing that people do to impress other people. There's a new way of showing off how great your life is. Mm-hmm. And people love doing that on social media. In fact, I would almost go so far as to say it is the point of at least 60% of what I see on Instagram, certainly, is flexing.
Everybody wants to brag about something. Oh, okay. But nowadays, people are all trying to brag in the most subtlest of ways possible.
Yeah, because you don't take pictures of you next to your car anymore because influencers have lied so much that we don't know it's your car.
That's the thing.
So if you pose next to a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or something even more fancy than that, you know, Bugatti, Koenigsegg, people are going to go, that's not his car. He's just at the dealership.
Yes.
He's pretending it's his or he's it's one of his rich friends and
he's rented it.
Yeah, he's rented it for the day and this is my life. I'm a day trader. Yeah, I currency trade during the day, but I'm 28 and I still live with my parents.
Yeah.
And I drive this Lamborghini. Yeah,
and you'll see that Lamborghini only once. And then there'll be a Bentley and then there'll be a Ferrari. And then you're like, okay, which one is the car? These all can't be.
None of them. Yeah. And then people pose in other people's houses and other people's clothes.
I mean, it's a real thing.
Before Instagram, this was a thing. Do you remember that show Cribs on MTN?
I remember.
It was a lie.
It was all a lie.
It was a lie.
Wait, what?
Yeah, yeah. So they almost none of those houses were actually the people who were featured in them.
What? I'm shocked.
No, they would go and rent rich people's houses and they'd say to them things like, just leave all the food in the fridge. If their kids' toys lying around, don't tidy up. Because we want them to think this is this rapper's house or this movie star's house or whatever. Because the truth is that a lot of people in entertainment have actually got horrible, terrible houses and they're embarrassed about them. They're in shitty neighborhoods. They don't have any nice furniture. They don't spend a lot of time at home. Maybe if you're a movie star, you are away on a movie set for like 9 months living in a trailer.
That is so true.
So they don't know what to do with the house when they get back in it.
That is actually the reality. I know an influencer. I'm not going to name them. Ooh. But I know an influencer who is quite popular.
Mm.
And this influencer, so I actually am friends with them now. Oh. But before I was friends with them, I was friends with a mutual of ours. Well, I'm still friends with the mutual as well.
Okay.
But the mutual is the one who told me, you know this person. I'm like, yeah, I know this person. They're like, this person actually lives in a shack. Don't see them in a hotel every single day. They live in a shack. And they just projecting this life on social media.
Describe it, this influence. I might know them as well.
Dylan says in the comments, it seems like there's a big shortage of humble pie for people to eat these days. Mm-hmm. But people are not humble. And as Mash says, they are trying very hard to be subtle about their flexes. But this is a good one. I like the sound of this.
So now people are flexing about doing nothing. And doing nothing is the biggest flex now because if you think about it, people are working corporate jobs. People are up and down. Our days are so busy. Yeah. Our days, I woke up at 4:30. That's how busy the day is today. So when you go online and you just see somebody in bed, someone who's just doing nothing, sitting in the garden, playing with a dog at 11 a.m., making a cup of coffee at home, just watching a Netflix series at 2 p.m.
So that during the week, I mean, Cape Town people have been doing this for years, though. Cape Town people do absolute shit all day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying every Cape Townian. A lot of the ones that I see online these are the people who do whatever they want during the day. Oh, I'm going for cold plunge in the Atlantic. It's like, it's Tuesday at 2 p.m. What the hell's wrong with you?
You see them climbing Table Mountain on a Wednesday.
Right.
Like, hello, where's the employment? Where's the job?
So you're saying that's a big flex now?
Yeah.
Because that means you don't have responsibilities or you're so rich that you don't need responsibilities.
And these people are living nice lives. It's not like they're struggling. It's not like, I'm doing nothing in the shack and them cuckoo. But they're actually doing something. Like, they actually have money. And so I did some searching around to see, okay, why is it that this is such a flex? Because even when I see content of people just doing nothing, I'm jealous as well. I'm not going to lie. I'm jealous as heck when I see these people.
Sure.
So some of the reasons why it affects us so much psychologically, seeing people doing nothing and considering it as a flex, is because number one, it signals control. So it symbolizes that they have control over their lives, because I have to be at work at 8 a.m. I have no control over that. It's someone else telling me you have to be here at this time. My days are structured around, obviously, my job. Evenings are structured around, well, trying to get gym in, trying to fit in my personal life. So seeing someone who just does nothing all day, every day, is such a flex to me. Also, it's against burnout culture. So there's a whole movement that's actually going against burnout culture. It's called the anti-burnout culture movement.
I've heard about this. This is obviously because people have been working themselves to death. I don't know that this is true, though, since COVID.
It is true.
COVID, I'd say sure. Yeah. Now, I'm not so convinced. I see a lot of people just coasting.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get it.
You can even see it. Where was I? At a shop like a Checkers or whatever the other day. You know when people, they drag their feet, they don't really actually lift them up.
That annoys me so much.
And you know when they do their work, but they're like,
just tick the box. Just tick a box. Yeah.
I get that feeling from a lot of people, but maybe it's because they're burnt out. Maybe it's because they've just, you know, they woke up really early. They go to sleep late at night. They just work, 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 work. There's no time for anything. They don't have very happy lives. I don't know. But I do get the impression that we're trying to find a balance between burning ourselves out and working way too hard on one hand and being like able to enjoy your life, being able to do things, see people. Have fun.
Absolutely. There is a fine balance. And unfortunately, most of us don't have that
I don't know anyone who does, actually. No, I don't. I don't know anyone.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one to balance. But Simpo, would you say you are managing? Are you burnt out, or do you feel like you're living the soft life?
Now I'm burnt out.
There's no gray area.
Let me tell you, my motto in life, don't look like your problems, okay? But like, there's a lot going on. I'm a mom to a 7-month-old, please. So you must just know, like, is a lot going on. So me, I'm tired.
I fully get it. I fully get it completely.
Just quickly, breaking news. Floyd Chivambu has been fired from MK by Jacob Zuma.
Weren't things already shaky there?
But now
they're busy insulting each other.
What do you do if he comes knocking on the EFF's door and you're Julius? Do you let him back in? Or do you say, sorry?
Let him back in? I doubt. They're going to make an... If they do let him back in, you know, politics are very strategic. They might let him back in as a strategic move and make him humiliate himself somehow.
Or just give him a really shitty job inside the party.
Yeah, right? Make him the janitor, the party janitor or something.
The plot thickens. This has to be the best thing I've ever heard. Not because I like hearing people getting fired from the jobs, but the whole thing with the MK, like MK was on this recruiting spree, left, right, and center, just poaching people, taking everybody. And then we saw them just dissing each other on Twitter, busy for tag. And we're like, hey, man, now what's going on here? You guys don't seem to like each other.
But it's very Mickey Mouse there, because honestly, they cannot get their shit together. It's taken them forever. Do you remember they couldn't find MPs? They got seats in parliament and they couldn't fill those seats because they were squabbling so much with each other.
Everybody wanted
a
spot.
So now someone said, you're fired.
Yeah.
And what is Homeboy going to do? Is he going to go back to Julius? I doubt it. Honestly, Julius has been hit too many times. Once bitten, twice shy. So I don't think he's going to take him back with open arms. I think he's going to be like, it's okay. You know, go do your own thing.
And imagine then we also have to have a Floyd party.
Add another one to the list.
Congo Chris says in the comments, listen, in Cape Town, the only people who are at work before 10 a.m. are the coffee shop employees.
Oh, wow.
But it's also the billionaires. Can I also tell you this coffee culture that I still don't understand? Like this whole like breakfast meetings. I don't understand that concept. I really don't. Like, why am I waking up to meet you at 7:30 to have breakfast,
I'll tell you why.
Like, why?
You know why? Because if you're meeting someone first thing in the day, they want to prioritize that, but they also don't want it to last all day. So if I say I want to meet someone in the morning, that usually means they're a priority. Afternoon meetings are not priorities.
Oh, they're not.
Yeah,
they're by the afternoon, best. You're tired, you're grumpy, you're thinking about, oh, the traffic, you're thinking about all those kinds of things. I think morning meetings are the best ones. And a breakfast means you want to spend time, meal time. Only three meals in the day, and you don't want to spend them with people who you don't like being around.
Certainly.
Or who are wasting your time. But then a breakfast is usually a lot shorter than a lunch. You know, if someone says, I want to take you to lunch, that's a long thing.
It's a whole hour and a half.
And unless you really want to see that person, I just say no to everything. And supper, even worse. So if someone says that we can have a quick breakfast or a coffee, I'm like, there, no problem.
And also, just in case there's any actionable items after the meeting, it helps having the meeting in the morning.
Then simply you can get that shit done.
You
in
can
the
get it done.
Yeah.
You can start thinking about it. It's not the next day kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I like breakfast meetings as well. Mm. I like them, even though I don't eat breakfast. I'll
What's
just
your problem
you,
with
but
them?
It's the whole concept of like waking up super early to meet somebody to talk about work first thing in the morning. Like for
weekdays
me,
weekdays or weekends? What are you talking about here?
Because, no weekdays. So okay, it's like saying.
But would you rather be at the office?
I'm not even at the office at that time. That's the thing.
So, okay, so I don't understand what it's replacing. Is sleep?
No, is, but it's just.
Thomas says this is why you're poor, Sims.
No, all I'm saying is that, like, you know how we have to be here 6 o'clock and then you're up at 4. It's that admin of, like, you have to wake up extra early, get dressed, meet the person at that particular place. And then, like, the first thing you guys are talking about is business. Like, 7:30 in the morning, I need to be up. I need to be able to be sharp and be like, hey, Gareth, how are you?
No,
you know,
no,
let's
no.
talk. Oh, let's have a croissant with some, you know, coffee. And then we're actually talking. But for me,
so you don't sound like a morning person.
I'm not at all. Like,
which is amazing because you do this show with me and I'm not a morning person. You know that?
So, I think that's what gets me. It's like, oh, 7:30. I have to actually be up and think and talk. Oh.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean. Andile says, Nigerians are never at work, but they drive expensive cars. Malawians are always at work, says Rosalind. Talking really early gives me a headache, says Khomotsa. I think she agrees with you, Sims.
Don't do it.
Morning is the best time of the day, says Chris. Dirk says, Sims, and you say you are suffering from burnout. What time does your day start? Go on.
My day actually starts at 3 a.m. in the morning. I have to make the first bottle for my kid. So that's actually when my day starts.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Look at that. She's traumatized.
So that's when my day actually starts. Then I have to get her ready. And then I do a drop-off. And then come to the office, drive from the east run to the north. Okay? And then I'm here. And then after work, I go back, drive to be a mom. And she only goes to bed at like 8. So my day ends at like 9. Because I still need some me time. So that's, but in general, I'm not a morning person. Like, if you want to get work done.
Well, 3 a.m. doesn't make anyone a morning person, trust me.
Certainly.
Hit me up. I'm one of those, like, I'm actually quite an afternoon person. I like getting work done in the afternoon. So if you need something done, tell me in the morning, but I'm only going to start working on it at like 3 o'clock. I'll be done by 6. And then that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Different
so
rhythms.
That's me. Yeah.
Also, Everybody's as a mom, your day is completely different from ours, hey?
Yes.
Completely different. So we can't expect you to be a rabbit at 7 a.m.
So, Mash, this flex of doing nothing.
Yes. Mm.
I don't know if I could do that. I feel guilty when I'm not doing something. It doesn't have to be work, but if I'm not cleaning something at the gym, reading, and I don't mean scrolling when I say this, but watching things that are happening in the world on the internet.
Yes.
But I have to be doing something. If I'm just sitting there, you know, you get people who can just sit.
Yeah. You'll see them post like a plate with watermelon on Instagram stories at 2 p.m. I'm like, who's just sitting eating watermelon at 2 p.m.? Like don't you have shit to do?
No, that sounds amazing.
Like, I don't know those people who can just do nothing and not feel guilty about it. Maybe I've been traumatized at some stage or I've been indoctrinated by my parents or someone. Because when I don't do anything, I don't think I've ever had a day where I just spent the day in bed or Didn't get out of my pajamas.
I can't
even during COVID. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't either. That is actually part of the reason why I canceled all these TV subscriptions, all of them last year, because I realized that I am never sitting. I'm never just sitting in front of a TV. No. Even when I am, I'm like, okay, what's the next TikTok? Okay, what's the next idea? Okay, what am I working on next? There's always ideas. My mind cannot stop. I don't know if I've been indoctrinated as well.
You need help. Go see a therapist. You guys just need to deal with your traumas, because I can tell you, I can do that. Like, it's so refreshing to do absolutely nothing. Granted, I can only get there once I've been doing things. So, like, you know, you come to work, it's the 9 to 5, and then Friday, Saturday, like Saturday morning, I'm doing absolutely
nothing. But
Simpua,
that's different, because that is you like saying I work, then I do nothing.
Yeah.
Not I just do nothing.
But I'm saying I'm willing to try the do nothing. I've tried the whole work. Let me do nothing.
After 3 weeks of doing nothing, you would go crazy.
You go absolutely
I don't
nuts.
Think there are a lot of people who can do. You either have to be a bit dumb, like you have to be a little
you have
bit
to be
stupid.
Super dumb.
Yeah,
super
to just
dumb.
Do nothing and be satisfied with doing nothing for more than a couple of days.
Mm.
Right, like everybody's going to enjoy those first few days.
Yeah,
Elon, now that he doesn't have to work for the government,
yes,
he's going to take a couple of days. Maybe he'll go on a holiday, although he doesn't look like the holiday kind of guy.
He's not.
He might have another kid.
And then, well, he's having kids all the time anyway. He's adding to that. He's adding to his number there in a big way.
Mm.
But you're going to get bored eventually with doing nothing.
Gareth, on Mondays, these long weekends that we've had,
by
Monday I was like, I miss work. Even on days when I take leave, I'm like, ish, maybe I should have gone to work.
I love that attitude, though.
Because it's just, it feels weird. I don't know, Simpui.
All right. So I don't know anything about this because I didn't watch any of it, but apparently they had something called the American Music Awards on.
That's still a thing?
Apparently. I mean, who knew? I don't know who would be
featured
there. Probably something like Chapel Roan, that sort of thing, right?
Because
all the rage at the moment. I don't know, because I used to be on top of the music scene. I used to know what was going on here. You could ask me a question about whose song was at what position on what chart, and you could tell me that there's this artist called, and I'd know the name. Now I'm like, music all to me is like, I'm getting old, so it sounds the same.
Mm.
But what did I miss? Because Simpiwe watched it.
Someone did.
No, you watched clips.
Yes, of course.
You saw clips on the internet.
I didn't have time to
do
that.
She refused quick. She's like, no, Gareth, please.
Don't put me in that WhatsApp.
Because that would be doing nothing.
No, but I saw the clips and the American Music Awards. I don't know how long they've been on, right? But they had essentially been off for the past 2 years. So this was like their comeback. Their first time in two years.
Recharging her.
Imagine. And it was a disaster. It was a flop. Jennifer Lopez.
How bad?
Was the host. Oh my gosh.
Oh, she's so disconnected.
Yeah, she's very delulu. And it's not the salulu.
Can I tell you what I don't? I mean, like, we've spoken about how she looks really good for her age.
Yes.
And she does. And we'll never take that away from you, J-Lo. You're a great-looking 60-year-old or whatever it is that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She's old. But you and Madonna need to stop trying to be 17 now. You know, there's nothing wrong with looking amazing in your 50s or 60s. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Good for you. And you're lucky. You got great genes and you look after yourself. But, like, having to pull into like backup dancers and grind on the stage and pull your old carcass around there, kind of get all sexy. I don't think anyone wants to see that.
No offense to 60-year-olds, but hey guys, we ain't trying to see that, eh?
We really
no one.
Not.
No one is.
Mm.
I don't think there's any reason for J-Lo to have to behave like this. And as for that Madonna, that old Skeletor, I mean, she's also got to stop. Just stop it, ladies, you know?
Just age gracefully. Yeah,
someone said when these celebrities die, if you open their coffins after 1,000 years, they'll still look fresh. They'll still look the same.
Oh, please.
Because it's
if
just plastic
you dug up
and
Michael
filler.
Jackson now, yeah.
He's like, nothing's changed. I'm still here.
I just think you've got to do this with dignity.
You gotta.
Yes. And it's
the lasting dignity plan by clientele. Okay, let's start there. Just do this, ladies. We should send Desmond Dube over there to just talk to J-Lo and Madonna.
And Kris Jenner, because she now looks 12.
With her new face.
We,
like,
we saw that on the show, what, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, with the
Amas.
Amas. Those things right over there. It took place sometime this week. It recorded the lowest viewership ever in history. That's how bad it was. It also was giving very COVID vibes. And when I say COVID vibes, I mean it was 2 hours. They only did 6 awards. None of the big artists were there. In fact, nobody was there. Everybody accepted their award via Zoom call.
Oh, God.
Which was weird. The Weeknd didn't even like clean his screen. It was just, you know.
Oh, wow.
And then like the live performances weren't live. And they had like old people like Gwen Stefani. You know her, right?
When last did
she drop a hit?
She was from No Doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her performance was pre-recorded and then played on a screen. Like what in the COVID?
Why would you go to that? I wouldn't even go to that.
And then, of course, J-Lo had to be everything. She was basically dancing to all the songs because they couldn't get any artists to perform.
Oh, did J-Lo maybe produce this and pay herself a big salary and
maybe
keep all the money?
And then like people were winning like lifetime awards, left, right, and center. Oh, Janet Jackson performed. Old people as well performed. But yeah, it was horrible. They announced the winners via Twitter.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Like the other 30 that won. One of the winners was Tyler, shout out, you know.
Okay. Was Tyler there?
Yeah. No, she wasn't there, of course. But she won Favorite Afrobeat Artist. And I think, fun fact, she's won just over 30 awards in a span of 18 months.
Damn, okay.
So, yeah. And then there was this moment that Jennifer Lopez had with her backup dancers or whatever. She was kissing a guy, kissing a girl.
Ooh, see, this is kind of behavior I'm talking
about. Just doing too much.
Oh, I saw that. She was referencing what Madonna did years ago when she kissed Britney Spears.
Oh, my gosh.
Guys, first of all, that has been done to death. It's not shocking anymore.
It's
when Madonna
not.
Did it, it was also not shocking. It was just horrifying because this old lady was doing it to this much younger girl.
Yeah.
And it felt like a bit abusive.
Mm.
Remember?
Also, back then, like, boys kissing boys, girls kissing girls was like a huge thing.
Yeah.
Now, my FYP page, it's just every second video. Nobody's sensitized by that now.
And, you know, if you see social media on a regular basis, there's a lot worse than kissing going on there.
There's bums everywhere. Don't tell us about a simple pic.
Everybody in the world is naked.
Mm. If J-Lo wanted to up the views, she might as well just shoot her ass. Straight
no,
up.
No, they should have just gotten somebody else. Yeah, she couldn't. Let me tell you something about J-Lo, right? Jenny from the block.
Yeah.
You have reached your prime when it comes to people and the ordinary American, South African person in the world, okay? Mm-hmm. Go enjoy your money. She got...
she's had enough now.
Yes, she got a Las Vegas residency and she couldn't fill it up.
You
so,
can't
ma'am,
tell me.
Sit
You can't
down.
Tell me you want more attention. You've got so much attention in your life. I mean, the apex of your career, if you ask me, like looking retrospectively at Jenny from the Block's career, the best moment for her, in my humble opinion, was when she made that Anaconda movie.
Oh, yes.
The Anaconda.
Yeah, that was nice. Shout out to ETV. They keep playing that movie every year.
Do they?
Yes.
Oh,
they have
great.
Like tonight.
Somewhere they're still playing the hits. Tonight.
Anaconda.
So she's 55 years old. Jennifer Lopez was born in 1969.
And she's still claiming being Jenny from the Block. Let me tell you what her problem is as well, right? She's accumulated a lot of wealth, right?
Yeah.
But she still wants to be the girl from Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, don't be fooled by the rocks that I got.
Yeah, but like also, and she's, I think she's a brilliant actress. I think her singing. Yeah, no, I think she's like, that's her lane. That's like acting, she should do that. Singing, dancing, leave it alone. You know?
Oh, really? So you rate them that way?
Yes.
See, I would have said singing, acting, dancing.
But with that said, she did reach her peak, you
and
know.
And she could do all three.
Yes, at some point where we were all like, okay, girl, you get it, whatnot. Right. But now it's just becoming a disaster. Every time she released a movie that she self-produced, she wrote, she self-funded, directed, and people were like, it was all over the place, and it just was a flop.
Yeah, I remember, and with her relationships too.
Yes, well, I mean, and Homeboy was like,
while we're piling so on J-Lo, she ruined poor old Ben Affleck's life.
Oh, Betunana.
That guy's never coming back.
Oh, at all.
He's such a misery now. His life is shit. He hates it. That Mark Antony guy, that was also a disaster, remember?
Yes. Mm.
So everybody she touches and every project she's involved in,
it's a flop.
But it has a 50-50 chance of being moderately successful.
No, she's at that point where it went like this. And now it's flopping.
Oh,
it's
so going, she should just stop.
She should stop.
Go and live. She should just do nothing.
Make us miss you.
Danko.
Make us miss you. You're always trying to be in our faces with these flashy, shiny dresses. And one moment from that same documentary that you guys discussed just now was, this was so funny. I saw it all over TikTok. I didn't watch that damn documentary.
Same here.
It reads here, in her 2024 documentary, The Greatest Love Story Never Told, Jennifer Lopez reflects on her upbringing in the Bronx, sharing that her typical bodega lunch order was a ham and cheese sandwich on a roll.
This choice surprised some
viewers, given the predominantly Latin American culinary influences in her Castle Hill neighborhood. So people are just like, wait, who eating that in the Bronx? Ain't nobody eating ham and cheese on a roll. That's rich people food. So that was just the first nail in her coffin when it comes to how disconnected she is. She's disconnected and she's trying to be relatable. Everybody's trying to be relatable.
Why? Okay, so the point is, and I think Simpiwe is right here, once you have done this stuff,
yes,
and you've made a lot of money, which she has, and you've had a very public life, I don't get why someone at that level doesn't want to just go and enjoy themselves.
Exactly.
Be around your friends, go and visit your family, go on holidays. Mm. It's not as if she's got to worry about going to work. So what is this thing that gnaws at some people that they always need attention?
Gareth, it's because the more money you have, the more money you want. And also, remember that these American artists in particular, they have homes all over the world, they have servants that have to be paid, they have Rolls Royces and whatever, and all these cars, they have yachts and boats, and they want to keep up with all of this. In order to keep up, your money has to be long. Having 100 million sounds like a lot of money, $100 million, until you realize that Jennifer's, her mortgage alone is probably like freaking $2 million a month for one house.
Because I'm just doing a little search here. So we discussed her age and we're not going to go there again. Mm. But I wonder what she's worth, because here it says net worth. You know, these things are always inaccurate because it works on, like, I don't know, whatever nonsense it can scrape off the internet. But it says she has a net worth of $400 million. Mm. That is enough to have a very good life. Can I tell you what I learned in the last week?
Okay.
Because I didn't have power for, a week and a half? Or
hey, boo.
Well, I had solar, so I had lights plugs, but I didn't have hot water and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I realized, in order to conserve the batteries from my solar, if I switched everything off, I didn't need that much electricity. Now, I'm not by any means saying I'm one of these people who's going to go around switching off everything all the time and being, you know, really schnorrer and not spending a cent on electricity. But if you think about how much money you waste in your life, you can live a more simple life and it's sometimes a little bit better and you don't have to waste money left, right, and center. And suddenly, okay, that's saving me like R1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That can go a long way.
Yeah.
If Jennifer Lopez just went and lived in her dream house and it could cost her $100 million and she still have $300 million left over.
Mm-hmm.
And she did all the things she's always wanted to do. I don't know, horse riding, Latin American ballroom dancing. Yes. Who knows what she wants to do? Find husband number 14, whatever it is. She can go and do all of that. And she can be very, very content with her $300 million cushion in case shit goes wrong, because I don't think that's going to go away. It'll grow over time if she invests carefully.
Yeah.
Certainly.
The rest of us don't have that kind of money, and we want to enjoy our lives like that, right? Mm,
certainly. Yeah. Bona, Gareth, I have some advice from J-Lo. I know she's watching. J-Lo, baby girl.
Okay.
Listen up here. If you want to be relatable to the people, you need to be amongst the people. Like, start a ballroom dancing, Latin American dancing class.
All right.
Book out a whole stadium and start a class.
A stadium.
And do this like once a year. We can call it like J-Loge, Move Your Hips Day or whatever. Like, do something that is for the people if you want to relate to them. Because you dancing for a whole hour, shaking your behind, is not doing anything for us on TV. Teach us how to dance. Give us something. Give us something to walk away with. Because also a documentary, what did it give us?
Yeah. Nothing. Mm-hmm. But can I tell you just one last thing about J-Lo? There was a clip of her, I think it was in the docu, I'm not sure. She's walking down the blocks, and she goes back to her old home, right? Like where she grew up. And then there's someone who stays there, and she points, you know, and she's like, oh, I used to stay here. And the guy's like, who are you? And she's like, Jennifer Lopez.
We need to find that video.
And then the guy's like,
he goes, who are you?
I'm looking for that video.
And it's like one of the most humblest J-Lo moments where you know you can be a star all you want, but when that hits you, when someone genuinely doesn't know who you are and you're like, Jennifer Lopez, I used to stay here.
So I found it. I'm sending it to the producers right now.
All right, while we're doing some clips and things, I got some funny shit to show you this morning.
Let's go.
Who wants to laugh? You know, they do fight scenes in movies now that are very, very complicated, and they've got CGI involved.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't even think they use stuntmen anymore. That used to be a thing. You'd get these highly trained gymnasts and athletes, stuntmen, who would like put on a fight. But I feel like we've lost something, because fight scenes used to be pretty damn cool.
And the only one who could do it was Jackie Chan.
Even before that, okay, so here's William Shatner. Okay. Who, of course, is now in his 90s. William Shatner on an episode of Star Trek that someone sent me this week, fighting some kind of alien. This is terrific. This is this is my favorite fight scene, and then we could talk about what yours is. Your favorite fight scene from a movie. Here's mine.
That fight scene was so slow motion and like, kind of romantic.
Like, I was waiting for him to like just knock out and KO, and it's just taking forever. I'm so used to the
it's too quick. I like all your sound effects though. That's some good sound effects going on there. You should be a Foley artist. Alright, sure. I don't know if you guys have watched any of this, but I hope you haven't, because you'd be wasting your time talking about doing nothing. So there's this woman called Jamie Kern Lima who interviewed Meghan Markle the other day.
Oh, okay. Our favorite
Jamie
person.
Jamie Kern Lima she's worth hundreds of millions because she sold her beauty care line to one of the big makeup companies.
Okay.
So like everybody who's rich and bored, she's decided to start her own podcast. Because this is the new thing. You know, like everyone in the world wants to now do podcasting. Don't know where they got that idea. But anyway, they're all doing this now. Jamie Kern Lima, I've never heard of her before. Meghan Markle, they sat together and complained about how hard their lives are as rich women who don't worry about a thing, who've caused all their own problems for themselves, by themselves. You do not need to feel sorry. But people are getting hold of this interview, and they are doing their own versions of it, which are much funnier and much more entertaining than the original. So I follow this one girl on Instagram, and she's hilarious. She does impersonations. And she does the two of them, Jamie Kern Lima and Meghan Markle, really, really well. So watch this.
Let's
this
go.
Is great.
I know.
Yeah.
You just have to prove, like, you have the proof that you're proving that you can prove the proof.
It's divine intervention that God brought you to this podcast today.
Want some pretzels? Mm. I put them in a bag myself.
These pretzels are divinely ordered.
The pretzels of Sussex.
You've had harder than literally any other person on the planet. Even Jesus, nailed up to the cross, didn't suffer as much as you.
I know.
Just love that this is what the Lord willed me to do with my will. To make another podcast where celebrities can talk about how hard their lives are, not to help people. No.
What we're doing here is as, if not more, important than solving world hunger.
Wow.
I practiced really hard to come off as genuine.
So did I.
I think it's working.
I do too. Mm. It's divinely ordered how many times we've said I and me. Mm. Why did you say yes to the show?
And then you're like, do it. I was like, what? You're like, do it. I was like, what? You're like, do it. And then I was scared.
Yeah.
Y'all need quick and easy. And this is
a- oh my God. All right. All right. Well, okay. You might as well show that because now everybody's going to want to know what the hell was that. So here we go. Let's just follow that up with something else that I found for you, which is bizarre.
Y'all need quick and easy. And this is a great, easy hummus chicken that you can do. And I make it in about 40 minutes.
New side hustle.
Yeah.
So in case you were listening and are watching, that would have been very irritating, but there's this woman with enormous cheeks and she, yeah, the comments are just so brilliant. You know, occasionally the comment section, and especially true on this show, is the most entertaining part of
certainly
anything that happens on social media.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, it's definitely
funny.
People are hilarious. You actually remind me of, I watched a video the other night of Beyonce has been bringing her daughters onto stage, rather her youngest daughter, Rumi Carter, onto stage and then singing to her. And at first, the child was very excited. She was like, oh, yeah, you know, excited to see the crowd. But the other day, she had a concert and this poor little girl just walked out. She looked so over it. She was just like looking really bored. And the comments, people are like, I actually screenshot some of the comments. I can actually read them to you as opposed to...
Yeah, that'll be fun. So I don't know why hilarious. These celebrities also, we talked about J-Lo ad infinitum this morning and we don't have to carry on. I know they've got the clip where, if you want to show everybody, that's probably going to be funny. But why do these people parade their children around like accessories?
So I found out it's for tax reasons and to, yeah, they actually
tax?
List their kids as employees and they can pay their kids.
What in the child
it's
abuse
like
is that?
I'm not a tax person, but I've been watching all these pages, these economics and
really?
Finance pages, and it's a tax thing and they're trying to get their kids rich. Beyonce's paying her kids like $16 million each to be part of her concert, Rumi and Blue Ivy as well.
Yeah.
But now on social media, the comments are saying as Beyonce brought her daughter out, people are like, she's like, here we go again with this shit. And then someone else commented, because Beyonce sings a song to Rumi called Protect. I don't know if it's called Protector, but she goes like, I will be your protector. And then someone commented, someone said Rumi was like, yeah, protector.
So the kid just had this expression of like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. She is completely over it.
She's
completely
so young though. And it's so cute. I did see the first like concert.
Maybe she really hates Beyonce's music.
And she's jumping around. And you can see that they actually like read some of the comments. Because she was jumping around. You know like when a kid is innocent and all they want to do is like, oh, play. Mm-hmm. And then like, after a few appearances, she's actually much more like,
yeah.
And you can tell she's more trained. She's more like, yeah. Don't do that, don't do this. And it's for me, when I see it, it's like, oh, that's so sad. Like, I love that first innocence of you just jumping around being a kid. And now you can see that, no, you're no longer a kid, my daddy. You are now one of the dancers who has to be in order. And you do ABC.
Apparently, Beyonce is also struggling to sell out concerts.
Oh, yeah, it's tough at the moment.
Because she's also old.
She's trying to be relatable now, too. She's doing birthday shout outs.
Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll drag the children out there and exploit them with some child labor.
Oh, you got to
get on the stage, child. Mm-hmm.
They got to work.
Let me tell you. Let me give you proper advice. Mash gave advice to J-Lo. This is for all the celebrities out there that have made hundreds of millions, trillions, billions.
Right.
Don't be relatable. I can't relate to you. Mm-hmm. My struggles are not the same. When I talk about a Mini Cooper, you're talking about a Bentley. You know what I mean? Mm. When I talk about Boxburg, you're talking about a $300 million house. You know, you travel the world for fun. Yeah. We are not the same. We do not eat the same food. When you talk about sushi, you're probably buying it in the thousands. I'm trying to buy it for $50. We're not the same. Don't try sell that.
Checkers in the at the entrance in the ice. Yes.
Oh, I'm judging you with the checkers, but we are not the same. And that's okay. We'll never be the same. Live your life. Show me what it's like to be one of the top 1%ers. That's all I want to see. Well, I don't want to hear about your struggles. You don't have struggles. In my opinion, you really don't, because you go to the best doctors. So just show me your life. And if you do show me how beautiful it is. Don't try to be a Michelle Obama and complain on podcasts about how tough it is to live in the White House.
No. Mm-hmm.
Don't try to be like Jennifer Lopez. Like,
or Meghan Markle. Congo Chris says, it was Carl DeSanta said, wow, that was a great Beyonce impression, Mash.
Oh, thank
Congo
you.
Chris. Carl says, Beyonce is what I call a mute and shoot. I'll watch her videos on mute because she's nice to look at, but her voice makes my ears bleed.
Oh, who? I thought mute and shoot meant something else.
Will
okay.
Smith, Dirk Kutsia says, Will Smith forcing his son into acting. Look at what a disaster that turned out to be. All the single ladies are married or are lesbians with cats now.
What?
All the single ladies. And then let's see what's in that clip, this J-Lo thing, because this is driving me crazy. I'm the only one in the whole world who hasn't seen this. So let's take a look.
I used to live here. My name is Jennifer.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I used to live upstairs, and my room was upstairs right there. Jennifer Lopez.
Who's Jennifer Lopez?
Me. I used to live here. For a long time.
That is kind of
humble
humiliating.
Pie.
Yeah.
Humble pie.
All right.
You know, this it just reminds me, you know, like how connected to love I am, you know, and the different dimensions. And it's just so divine.
Oh my God.
And
you need to go on the Jamie Kennedy show. All right. Sims, it was like the billionaires during COVID saying that we're in the same boat. And the rest
we're
of us
not.
Were like, you have a boat?
Thank you. Thank you. And then they're like, oh, it's so tough being indoors. You have hectares of land. Like, we're not the same. And it's okay. Like, if they can understand that, the world will be in such a better place.
Certainly.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm.
So, no argument from me on that front.
Thank you.
Apparently, this is also fun to observe. And I think we should take a break first before we carry on with this. But girls are extremely mean, way meaner than guys are on social media. I don't think anyone's going to argue with me on that. We can discuss why just after the break. Don't go anywhere. It is Friday morning. This is The Real Network, Gareth Cliff Show. We are live, keeping you company this Friday. Your weekend's about to start.